Well, we are looking this morning. Is the tape on? Good, thank you. I just always confirm. We are looking at the last of the great I Ams. I hope it's been a blessing to you. I've had a great blessing preparing. I have old sermons on it, but I take those and I write a new sermon each week on things and insights that the Lord would have me share. Eight times in the Gospel of John, twice in the book of the Revelation, Jesus gives us these great claims about himself. And again, I want to start with the quote that C.S. Lewis has given to us. C.S. Lewis was led to recognize that if God is God, he must be obeyed, not for the sake of reward, but simply because he is God. Now, let me tell you honestly, I know I'm a pastor and Pastor Sam for a number of years, and let me tell you that there's no doubt that 90% of the time, 95, maybe it's 99.9, of the time I obey God, it's because I want something or I want to prevent something bad. What is our motivation? A lot of times is, I'm not going to do this because I don't want this to happen. There's a truth to that. What a man sows, that shall he reap. And sometimes I say, Lord, I'm going to do this because, there's blessing in it or reward. And here, C.S. Lewis talks about a whole different plane. We must be obeyed. He must be obeyed not for the sake of a reward or prevention of a calamity, but simply because of who he is. Lewis wrote, if you ask why we should obey God, in the last resort, the answer is because God says who I am. Because of who I am, intrinsically of who I am. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. It is he that has done these things and given us Christ. And I understand that we could say, well, it's because he did this, all these things. But the fact of not just what he did, but who he is, that we should obey him and know him and live for him. And so we're looking at these I Ams of who I am, all that I am, that I am, is in the last chapter of the last book of the Bible is this final I am. Revelation 22:8. I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. For the past 18 or so chapters 1 through 4 to the churches, but then there begins a vision in chapter 4, these last 18 chapters, there has been this great vision, the apocalypse, what God is going to do, opening up the seals of this book, the will of God. And John says, when I saw these things, I heard these things, I fell down and I prostrated myself. I worshiped at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. But he said, the angel said to me, do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and of your brothers, the prophets, and of those who heed the words of this book, worship God. Jesus then picks up in this chapter in verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches. And here is the quote. Here is the claim. The last I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. Later he says, he who testifies to these things saying, yes, this is Jesus speaking, I am coming quickly. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And the last book of the last chapter of the last verse of the New Testament says, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with all. Amen. I told you the first verse, Matthew 1:1, the gospel, the good news of Jesus, the Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham, is about Jesus Christ. And the last verse, the grace of our Lord Jesus be with you all. Amen. Of course, as I mentioned last week, the book of the Revelation is all about Jesus has triumphed. Not he will triumph, he has triumphed. It's as good as done. He was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. We were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Not that he's going to triumph. He has triumphed. It's as good as done. You're as good as in heaven. You're as good as in heaven because of God's decree and his plan. Jesus Christ is more powerful now than he was on the earth. He says now that all power and authority has been given to me. He is the head of the church. There's only one name given among men, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He has been given a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he is the Lord of all. And so ultimately you have, as I've quoted before in Ephesians chapter 1, God made known to us the mystery of God's will according to God's kind intention, which God purposed in Jesus. with a view suitable to the fullness of time. That is, the summing up of all things is in Christ. All roads lead to Christ. All roads are out of Christ. It all adds up. 4 plus 4, 11 divided by 6. Anything that you have, it will always be found in the person of Jesus Christ. All that God is says that I am, that I am, that I am. So, let's go back now to the quote. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. So, there's actually two parts of this I am, and within each part, there are two parts. I am the root and the descendant, so that's the first thing. He doesn't say, I'm just the root of David. I'm the root and the descendant of David. And then he says, I'm not just the bright star. I'm the bright morning star. So, we'll look at each of these two identifications of who Jesus is, the root and descendant of David, and the bright and the morning star. Now, to begin with, when you think of the word David, when you see here that he's talking about the root and the descendant of David, you actually usually will think about David as the king. He was the ultimate picture of conquest. David was the one that subdued all of his enemies. And after he subdued all of his enemies, there was peace in the land. And finally, with peace in the land, he wanted to build a house of God where God would dwell, where before he was in tabernacles, but now he would build a house of God. He's the one that brought, as I mentioned, peace to the land. And ultimately, when he killed Goliath, there's a unique quote about David. It happened as they were coming, when David returned from killing the Philistine, that's Goliath, the women came out in all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tambourines, with joy, and with musical instruments. The women sang as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000. Now, David hadn't slain 10,000. David slew just one person, Goliath. But it was as if he slew 10,000 people. And so here you already begin to have this prophecy about Saul who slain thousands, which he did, and David would ultimately, and he would slay tens of thousands. He would ultimately subdue all of these enemies, and he would reign as the ultimate picture, as the ultimate king of Israel. The other picture, if I could say, about David is that, David, of course, wrote about 40 psalms or so, even more. And there's three psalms that are very prophetic that David all wrote. Let me just say them very briefly. In Psalm 22, where he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's the psalm of the cross. So you could put Psalm 22 as the cross. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, is the psalm of the crook, the shepherd's crook. So there's the crook, and the cross, there is the crook. And then Psalm 24 is the psalm of the crown. It's the king. So let's just look for a moment, Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord and all that it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. I always love in the King James, it says, the earth is the Lord and all that in them is. There is the sea and all that in them is. And there is the earth and all that in them is. And this psalm ends in verse 7. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. And this is actually an antiphonal choir. David was a writer of this, of a musician, and he's writing this one choir on one side, and they're echoing and one singing to one side and the other, because he says it again, verse 9. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory, Selah. So Psalm 24, the Psalm of David, is this prophecy about the King of glory, the triumph of the King of glory coming in. The only reference that we have about in the Revelation that identifies with the quote again in the end of Revelation is that in Revelation chapter 5, I'm going to, Lord willing, preach on this on Easter Sunday, but in Revelation 4 and 5, you have the first Easter, and they were saying, who is worthy to open up this book? And finally, no one was found worthy, and they start weeping, and John starts weeping, and the elders say to John, stop weeping, behold, the lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, here's the quote, the root of David has overcome. What has overcome? He's triumphed. He's been victorious. He triumphed over death. He triumphed over sin. He triumphed over Satan. He has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals. Now, let me mention a couple of things, if I can, about the root and about the David and the similarity. There's a couple very important similarities I remember that was interesting to me as a Jew that came to Christ. The first thing, of course, is, David was born in the city of Bethlehem. So that was always referred to as David's city. Then, of course, Jesus, when the prophecy about a ruler will come out, the ruler would come out of Bethlehem. So here is David, who is from Bethlehem, and Jesus is born in David's city, reigning as the king. As David was the prototype of the king, Jesus is the ultimate king. The other thing, of course, is that David subdued all of his enemies, and he wanted to build a house of God before it was in a tabernacle. And so he wanted to build a house of God. And so in the same way, he brought all the enemies subdued, that there was peace, and he would bring forth the temple of God. Well, Jesus subdued his enemies, and ultimately he's going to build the church of God, and he's building the church of God. So there's this similarity about building the house of God, and you're the house of God. You're the one dwelt, not made with hands, but a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. So there's this similarity of David's reign and subduing enemies, of building the temple, and Jesus of subduing of enemies of death and Satan. I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The other thing is that when David was going to build the temple, God said, you're not going to build the temple because you have shed much blood. He actually said that. You have shed much blood, and I will let your son build the temple. And so ultimately, when he says to David, you've shed much blood, how did Jesus build his temple? Because he shed his blood. David didn't shed his blood. The king ultimately shed his blood. Even though both reign, both are prototypes, both are a picture, David, the ultimate king, David, the prototype of a king, Jesus, the ultimate king. So there's these similarities of the city, of their reign, of their building of the church, and of the dwelling place of God himself. The other thing I want to mention about, if I could say about root, I talked about this a little bit with the vine and the branches. Remember that Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. In a sense, a branch is almost like an above ground root. Now, what I mean by that is that, look, God doesn't cut the vine. God cuts the branches. He prunes the branches. And I told you that sometimes you're the branch and you feel like that, you know, you're practically cut back to nothing. But the point is, it's not up to you. It's up to the vine. And the vine has the life in it. The vine has a life. Your life is in Christ, in his hands, and his hand is in the Father's hand. So there's a picture about not cutting down the vine, but pruning the branches. So this is the root, not ultimately we're going to look at the branch, but the root of David. If we go back for a minute, look at this. I am the root and the descendant of David. There's a prophecy that's given to David. David has just been told in 2 Samuel chapter 7 that he's not going to build the house of God. And God makes what's called the Davidic covenant with him. Let me share with you what he says here. Now, therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, to be the ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you whenever you have gone and have cut off all your enemies from before you. I will make you a great name like the names of the great men who are on the earth. I will also appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them that they may live in their own place and not be disturbed again, nor will the wicked afflict them any more as formerly. Even from the day that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies, the Lord also declares to you that the Lord will make a house for you. When your days are complete and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendant after you who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom. Now, most prophecies in the Old Testament have an immediate fulfillment and a futuristic fulfillment. There is a truth here that God would raise up a kingdom after David through his sons, etc. But he says here, follow with me, when your descendants are days are complete and you lie down with your fathers, when you die, I will raise up your seed. This word here is the word seed. I will raise up for you a descendant, a seed after you, who will come forth from you and will establish his kingdom. Now, I just want to skip a few verses here that wasn't necessary. And your house and your kingdom shall endure before me forever, and your throne shall be established forever. Now, through this seed, he's going to establish something forever. Now, David is long gone. I mean, the kingdom of Israel is long gone. And yet here he says that through your throne will be established and your kingdom will endure forever. Let me show you a similar passage that was given to Abraham. Abraham obeyed God, and he says, indeed, Abraham, I will bless you. I will greatly multiply your seed of the stars of the heaven as the sands of the seashore, and in your seed. Now, there's the word seed, which is the same word as descendants, this seed. From your seed will come forth the stars of the heaven, the sands of the seashore. All the earth shall be blessed through your seed. Well, in Galatians, we found out what this is. Now, the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say into seeds as referring to many, but rather to one, and to your seed, that is Christ. So Paul goes back to Abraham and he says, when he says the word seed, this seminal head, is the coming of the person who is Jesus Christ. And when he says the word seed to David, he says, ultimately, you're the seminal head of this one who's going to come, which is Jesus Christ. So whether it's David or Abraham, it's Jesus Christ. So look at the first verse of the Bible, of the New Testament. The record of the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. You know why he picks those two people? Because they're the only ones that was given this promise of the seed. The seed was given to Abraham. The seed was given to David. And from your seed, I'm going to establish my reign forever and ever and ever and ever. And he says, I am the root of David. I am the offspring and the seed, descendant. I am the seed of David. So what do you have then in the genealogies about the coming of Christ as a seed? Verse 2 of Matthew 1, Abraham was the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Is David mentioned in Matthew's genealogy? You bet. Salmon was the father of Boaz by Rahab. Boaz was the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse. And Jesse was the father of David the king. Notice he writes the king. He writes the king. He didn't give the occupation of any of the others, but he says, who is David? He's the king. Let's go to Luke. Luke has his genealogy, the son of Jacob and the son of Isaac, the son of Abraham. Here's Abraham mentioned, showing the seed came through Abraham. Does he mention David? You bet. The son of Meliah, the son of Mena, the son of Mattatha, my son of Nathan, the son of David. He's going backwards, by the way. The son of Jesse, the son of Obed, the son of Boaz, the son of Salmon, the son of Nashon. So here you see, in both genealogies is the seed of the coming of Christ himself. There's another passage in Romans chapter 15, verse 8. For I say that Christ has become a servant to the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God to confirm the promises given to the Father. So Jesus is the servant. He's ultimately the reigning king over the circumcised, which are the Jews. And for the Gentiles, not for the Jews, but for the Gentiles, to glorify God for his mercy, is written, therefore I will give praise to you among the Gentiles, and I will sing to your name. Isaiah said, there shall come the root of Jesse, and he, Jesse, by the way, is the father of David. There shall come the root of Jesse, and he who arises to rule over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles hope. So this is not just reigning over Israel. This is reigning over all people from every kindred and tribe and tongue and nation. The book of Revelation. And I saw a myriad upon myriad, thousands upon thousands, that no man can number, from every kindred and tribe and tongue and nation, all bringing praise and glory to God. Here is the root of Jesse, who arises not over only the Jews, but also over the Gentiles as well. And then, of course, in Revelation, these will wage war against the Lamb, which is Jesus, and the Lamb will overcome, victorious. The word overcome is always the victory, because he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And those who are with him are the called and chosen and faithful. And then in Revelation 19, and on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Not just a Davidic king, but this is the King of all kings. And then you have the interrogation when he was with Pilate. Therefore, Pilate entered again into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, are you the King of the Jews? Jesus answered, are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me? Pilate answered, I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But it is my kingdom is not of this realm. Therefore, Pilate said, so you are a king. Jesus answered, you say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. What words are missing here? What's missing is Jesus never says he's the King of the Jews. Remember, he asked him, are you the King of the Jews? Who told you that? Hey, I'm not a Jew. Your people have delivered you. My kingdom of not. He doesn't refer to himself as the King of the Jews. He refers to him as the King. because he is the king of the whole world, whether from every kindred, tribe, and tongue, and nation, whether Jews or Gentiles, everyone who is of the truth will hear my voice. So Jesus does not here identify himself as the king of the Jews. He's going to die for the sins of the world, Jews and Gentiles. He's going to die for all of them. I'm not identified as the king of the Jews. I'm the king. I'm the king. I'm the ultimate king that will reign. And of course, at this point, Jesus had a few battles to wage, didn't he? In a few hours, he was going to go to the cross. And on the cross, he was going to be conquering over death. He was going to conquer sin, your sins. He was going to pay for your sins. He was going to defeat the devil. I mean, Jesus was about to go to a battle. And he refers to himself, my kingdom is not of this realm. I am a king. You say correctly, I am a king. Don't say Jews. I'm the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let me just show you, if I can, there's a great psalm, which is a psalm of David again. And this is really has some prophecies about Christ, but it really just exudes what I'm trying to say about this reign of Christ. Look, let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. Let those who hate him flee before him. The chariots of God are myriads, thousands upon thousands. The Lord is among them as at Sinai in holiness. You have ascended on high. You have led captive your captives. You have received gifts among men, even among the rebellious ones, that the Lord God may dwell there. Now this verse, look at it. You have ascended on high. You've led captive your captives. You have received gifts among men. This verse is quoted referring to the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his victory. Look, Ephesians 4:7. And to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he, Christ, Ephesians, this is the New Testament, ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Let's go back. God is to us a God of deliverance, and to God the Lord belongs escapes from death. Surely God will scatter the heads of his enemies, the hairy crown of him who goes on in his guilty deeds. They have seen your procession, O God, the procession of my God, my King, into the sanctuary. The singers went on, the musicians after them, in the midst of the maidens beating tambourines. All this was a victory. You know, when they crossed the Red Sea, Miriam said, God has slain our enemies. When they came and David came from slaying the lions, they were celebrating. This is celebration. The singers went on, the musicians after them, the midst of the maidens, they're beating their tambourines. Excuse me. Because of your temple of Jerusalem, kings will bring gifts to you. Envoys will come out of Egypt. Ethiopia will quickly stretch out her hand to God. Sing, O God, O kingdoms of the earth. Sing praises to the Lord. To him who rides upon the highest heavens, which are from the ancient times, behold, he speaks forth from his voice, a mighty voice, ascribe strength to the Lord. His majesty is over Israel. His strength is in the skies. O God, you are awesome from your sanctuary. The God of Israel himself gives strength and power to his people. Blessed be God himself. So, you have this quote. If we go back, I am the root and the descendant and David. Another way, if I could say, to translate this is that I am the root and the offspring of David. Now, what's the difference here? Well, you know, Jesus is the vine. We are the branches. A vine is this stick. What brings forth the plumage and the leaves and the fruit are the branches. The branches. We bring forth the fruit of being engrafted into the vine, which is Jesus Christ. When he says here that I am the root, and then in a sense he talks also about the offspring, the branch of David, this is a picture in the Old Testament about Jesus has been referred to as the branch. Let me go back just to a few passages. Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse. This is not the stem of Jesse. This is a shoot, a branch. And a branch from his roots will bear fruit. Read on. The Spirit of the Lord, this is the next verse, this is Isaiah 11, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. You know where this is quoted? And a similar passage in Isaiah 61, Jesus quotes it. Look at Luke 4:17. The book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to Jesus. He opened the book and found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives. That's a victory, recovery, the sight of the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, that's victory, And when Jesus closed the book, he gave it back to the attendants. His eyes were all on the synagogue, were fixed on Jesus. And Jesus began to say to them, today the scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. So here is this prophecy about from Jesse's stem will come, from Jesse's root, a stem will come forth, a shoot, a branch, and the Spirit of God will rest upon. This is Jesus quoting it. Read on. Isaiah 11. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees, nor will he make decisions by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Also righteousness will be the belt of his loin, and faithfulness the belt among his waist. In that day the nations will resort to the root of Jesse. This is Isaiah 11. The root of Jesse, who will stand as a signal for the people, and his resting place will be glorious. Now look, Jeremiah quotes the same passage. Jeremiah 23. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch. By the way, David's long been dead. Isaiah and Jeremiah are hundreds of years after David. I will raise up for David. Who is the David? This is the one. A righteous branch, and he will reign as king and act wisely and do justice and righteousness in all the land. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch. This is Jeremiah 33. Of David to spring forth, and he will execute justice and righteousness on the earth. And Zechariah 3:8. Now listen, Joshua the high priest, you and your friends who are sitting in front of you. Indeed, you are the men who are assembled. For behold, I am going to bring in my servant. And he calls him the branch. My friend, Jesus Christ is going to make everything correct. He's going to make every mountain low, and he's going to bring up every valley up. Nobody will get away with anything. Nobody. Jesus Christ will be the perfect, beneficent, loving, just, holy, omniscient, caring, loving, strict, ruling God, judge, king. He will. He will. He will wrong every right. Every lie will be addressed, every injustice, everything done hidden. What you do in secret, Jesus says, proclaim from the housetop. Every idle word that man shall speak, he shall give an account. All judgment and authority has been given unto me. He is going to be the ruler. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and he will be a beautiful, wonderful, reigning, beneficent, holy judge and king. Look what it says here about the prophecies of Jesus. For behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. Verse 32, he will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. Wow. Wow. He will be given the throne of the king, David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob, and his kingdom will have no end. No end. Matthew 2, and you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you shall come forth the ruler, a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel. So you go back and you see these wonderful words, I am the root and the seed and the offspring, and I will reign as I will reign in justice and righteousness. And you know, there was a hymn that came to my mind. I don't know if you ever heard this. There's a black gospel hymn called Ride On King Jesus. I had a good friend of mine named Jerome Hines. He was a wonderful opera singer. We did some concerts together in the 70s and 80s in the East Coast. And I have a vinyl record of him. Ride on King Jesus. No man cannot hinder him. Ride on, King Jesus, ride on. No man cannot hinder him. Jesus rides on a milk-white horse. No man hinders him. The river Jordan he did cross. No man hinders him. Ride on, King Jesus. No man cannot hinder him. Ride on, King Jesus, ride on. No man cannot hinder him. If you want to find your way to God, no man hinders him. The gospel highway must be trod. No man hinders him. Ride on, King. I'm trying to be Jerome Hines, you see. But I know it's not opera. No, this is the hymn. It's a great black spiritual hymn. I was young when I began, no man hinders him. And now my race is almost run, no man hinders him. Ride on, King Jesus. No man cannot hinder him. Ride on, King Jesus. No man cannot hinder him. My friend, the black knew the gospel of Jesus Christ, who reigns and rules and will be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because he is that. So let's go on. Let's go back. Oh, excuse me. So now he says, I'm the root and the descendant of David. And then he says, I'm the bright and morning star. Well, there's only one verse that gives us any insight to what this is. And basically, I don't really know what is the allusion here. I mean, there's no, you know, I always try to use my concordance and let the Bible interpret the Bible. So let me just say a few things that I think is a little obvious. Of course, Jesus had a star. When the Bethlehem star and the wise men came, we have seen his star. And you now know that there's some possibilities of these coming together of these different stars that are planets together that gave this great light. And yet it came and shone above where Jesus was. So there's that. Of course, it's, you know, it's very symbolic. I mean, Jesus is not a literal star, and Jesus is not a literal root. But it's very symbolic. So what is it symbolic of? Well, there's a lot of descriptions about Jesus in the Old Testament that he is called the Rose of Sharon. If you read the book of Song of Solomon, of course, it's between a love and a lover, a husband and wife. It's ultimately between the people of the church and the lover who is the lover of our soul, Jesus Christ. He's called there as a Rose of Sharon. He's called the fairest among 10,000. You know, the fairest among 10,000. This is a king that you don't need to fear. This is a king that you will adore when you see him. For when we see him, we shall see him as he really is. You know, think of the verse for a minute. Eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor enter into the mind of man what God has prepared for his children. Let me take it a step further. Eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor enter into the mind of man the beauty of the reign of Jesus Christ. We see through a glass darkly now. We don't see it face to face. And when we see him, that's why this mortal cannot put on immortality. When we see Jesus Christ, you're going to say it was worth it all. When you see his beauty and his regality, read Revelation 1. If he could just take it of what he was like, the brightness of the sun and his strength, and his robe and his vest, and he held stars in his hand and other things, and the whole world circled around him, and angels were around him. Holy, Kadosh, 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 Adonai Tzavot, worthy is the King, the King, the King. Who was, who is, and who is to come. My friend, when you see my Jesus, you're going to fall in love with him. He is beautiful. He is beautiful. He is the most beautiful, bright morning star, the fairest among 10,000. The other thing, of course, is that a star is something that is fixed, right? Planets go around the star. So whatever he is, he's not the bright morning planet. Thank God for that, right? He is the bright and morning star. And of course, you know, my wife is very much involved in stars, and she can always know where Andromeda is, and she knows where the M81 is, and she can, you know, and I don't see anything, and there's all these city lights, but she can see them because they're fixed. You know, it's fixed. It's fixed. It's a surety. The reign of Jesus Christ is fixed. It's a surety. It's a surety. You can put all your eggs in his basket. You can know that this is the real King, the King of Kings. This is the one who will wipe away every tear from our eye. This is the one who will care for us and love us. And of course, a king, ultimately the greatness of a king is all that he does for his subjects, the care of his subject, the security of his subject. He, you know, gave his life for his subjects. This is the king that we adore. This is the king that we love. The other thing is he talked about here is the bright morning star. Well, I've heard some people revert that the bright morning star is Venus. There's a problem with that because the evening star is Venus. Did you know that? So Venus is actually a morning star, and it's also the evening star. So get rid of Venus. It's not Venus. Oh, Venus. It's not a love song. I didn't do that in the first verse of service, so that's all right. I'll have to decide what sermon I'll pick. But this is what I'm saying. Listen for a moment. First of all, when he says he's a star, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun. What is the sun? It's a star. And then it says, We're no less dazed to sing God's praise than when we first begun. You know what I think this bright morning star is? Every day is going to be like a dawn with Jesus. Every day. It's the morning star. When we've been there 10,000 years, it's going to be like we were just got started. Feel like the first second. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we're no less days to sing God praise than when we first begun. I literally think this is an imagery, a symbolism of the reign of Jesus, which will, of course, never end, but every day will feel like it's the first day. It's the first day. It's the first day. It's the first day. We just started. Are you sure? It's the first day. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Behold, I make all things new. Just think of these I ams for a minute. I am the light of the world, and I am the bread of life, and I am the shepherd, and I am the vine, and I am the resurrection. And he says, all of that I am, I'm yours. I'm yours. I will be yours forever and ever and ever, and it will never end, and it will feel like it just began. It's a new day every day. It's a new day, a new day, a new day. You know, in the book of Revelation, it says there's no light because the temple of the light will be the Lamb. There will be no sun. There will be no moon. There will be no darkness. There will be no death. There will be no sin. There will be no tears. The only passage that refers to a star is in this revelation to the church at Sardis. And let me read it to you because I think there's some insights in it. Revelation 2:25. Nevertheless, what you have, hold fast until I come. He who overcomes. Now notice the word overcomes, the victory, right? And he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him, notice to him, I will give authority over the nations. You know, it says that we're going to reign with Christ. It says that. We will judge the 12 tribes of Israel. Notice what. And he shall rule over them with a rod of iron, and the vessels of pottery are broken to pieces. Also, I have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. So this is the only reference. So what is he saying here? Well, first of all, notice that in this context about receiving the star and about we will rule and things, there is the conquest. You and I have our own personal victories of Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am more than a conqueror through him who loved us. What's that? That's a picture of the reign of Paul, of the victory that he has in Jesus. Not his strength, not his victory, but what Christ does through me, what he accomplishes through me. Neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things to come, nor things in heaven, nor things above the earth, nor under the earth, will ever separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. So my friend, listen, it is worth living for Jesus Christ. The victory, fighting temptation, living holy, giving, serving, knowing him, living for him, making that phone call, loving a person, love covering a multitude of sins. It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. The devil is always trying to grab. Oh, we got him now. We got him now. We got him. No. It's your own personal victory. It's your own personal overcoming. And he says, I will give him the morning star. Now, that could mean, Jesus says, I'm going to give him myself. I'm the morning star. But you know, Mel has been sharing with us about Brother Giglio and the universe. And you know, you all know there's hundreds and billions of stars. And you know, we're this little speck here and stuff. And you may think, why is God making all these stars and things like that? And I've actually thought that I think God was going to give us our own galaxy. Now, I'm not trying to be voodoo here, and I'm not trying to be Mormon, and I'm not trying, no. But, you know, I do believe that for all eternity, we're going to worship Christ and serve Christ. We're going to serve him. We're going to, without hindrance, without sin, without any lack of pure motive, we're going to want to serve. We're Lord. And you may get a whole galaxy. You may get a star. You can buy a star for $67.95. You know that? Very popular at Christmas. Name a star after someone you love. Oh, my friend, I'm going to get a star. I don't want to name a star. You know, so it's just speculation. Why would God create all these billions and billions and... I don't know. You know, when I see the Lord said, Sam, it sounded good, but you're way off. Okie dokie. No problem. All right. You get a little house. No problem. But, you know, I will give him the morning star. Hey, you may get a morning star with planets circulating it. You may get a Milky Way. You may get a soul. Again, I'm just being cautious about why would God so much that we know. I mean, this is real. We know it. And there will be a new heavens and a new earth which in righteousness dwells. My friend, the victory that we have in Jesus Christ, when we see him, we shall see him as he really is. As he really is. This flesh cannot endure seeing such glory. Then I want to end with the last verses here. This is Isaiah chapter 9. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. You shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence as with the gladness of harvest. As men rejoice when they divide the spoil. See, this is victory. For you shall break the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders. The rod of the oppressor. All this is about victory. As at the battle of Midian. And then the prophecy. This is all in the same chapter. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government, the rule, the reign will rest on his shoulder. Not yours. It's going to all rest on his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end of the increase of his government or of peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts has accomplished it. My friend, 10 I Ams, the light of the world, the bread of life, the resurrection, the door, the shepherd, the vine. Before Abraham was, I am. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And he says, I am the ruler. I am the reigner. I am the bright morning star. My friend, it's all about Jesus, and it's all worth Jesus. It's all worth Jesus. With anything else, it's worth Jesus. It's worth living for him, and it's worth serving him, and it's worth giving all for him, because he is all. All that I am, that I am. I am that I am. Let's pray together. King Jesus, right on, King Jesus. I pray this day that many, many people around this world will bow the knee and humble themselves at the feet of King Jesus and find the loving, reigning, just, caring Jesus Christ. I pray that tomorrow, many people in this world will fall down on their knees before the reign of King Jesus. And when you come, Lord Jesus Christ, there will be millions upon millions and millions upon millions of millions upon millions who have become followers and subjects of the reign of King Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord, that we see you as you are. Right on, King Jesus. Don't let anyone hinder you. No man. No person, no devil. And so, Lord, we offer ourselves to you again. May you receive our worship, receive our thanks, because you are worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the King that shall reign. Bless your people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit until Jesus comes again, as he surely will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good to have you. Please greet one another in his love. You are dismissed.